The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster by, good afternoon. We're on Man in Line through till one today. And today, Manx Care. You may have heard in the news today that matrons have been reintroduced into Manx Care, and the Executive Director of Nursing and Allied Health Professionals, Sheila Lloyd, is here. We're also talking to Kathy Quine, involved in cancer and diagnostics, and Jo Standish is Senior Matron at Medicine and the Emergency Department. So what's it all about? What does it mean to you? Well, Faster Mai, good afternoon. Hello to Sheila, Kathy and Joe. How are we?
We're good.
Jolly good. A parade of red. You're in uniform. You're in uniform, Sheila. This is the red everybody's going to be wearing. Is that right?
It certainly is, Andy. It certainly is.
So what's the thinking behind this? Why reintroducing matrons?
Well, and thank you for having us, and thank you to your listeners. This is really important, Andy. It's about making sure that the senior matrons in Manx Care across the entire integrated service, not just Nobles Hospital, our community services, mental health, straight across the island, that are there. They're there for patients, they're visible, they're freed up to give time to patients and to the staff who need them.
Okay. So, are they replacing an existing structure? Where how do they fit into the kind of the business, the organisational matrix? Where do they sit?
So they're right at the top. So what we have is 8 senior matrons introduced into Manx Care, and the purpose of those roles is to free those senior leaders up to support the other nurses.
Okay, let's get to Joe first of all. So you're responsible for which bit again, Joe?
So I look after the medical wards, some of the medical outpatient services, and also the emergency department and minor injuries unit in Ramsey.
Okay, so just tell me before, who was in charge before then, Joe? Before matrons, who was looking after, who was kind of filling this role?
So it's with the restructure at the moment, it's more redefining and repurposing our roles to ensure that quality and safety are at the forefront of what we do.
Right.
And as Sheila's alluded to, we're more visible, freed up and present for our patients and their relatives.
Okay. Kathy as well. And Macmillan Cancer, is that
That's
right?
That's right, yes.
Right, so
yeah.
And where do you see your role?
So very similar to what Joe has said, it's that visibility, it's being at the front there, it's listening to patients' concerns and relatives, and it's looking at the quality, the standards, and ensuring we've got high standards in place.
Okay. Who do you answer to?
Sheila.
Okay. Who do you answer to, Sheila?
The Chief Executive, Teresa Cope.
Okay. So where did this initiative come from? Whose idea was it to bring matrons back?
So I wanted to do that, Andy. So I spoke to the senior nurses across Manx Care, and we had a conversation, and we've been having conversations on a weekly basis for probably the last 10 months about raising the standards of care for our patients and their families and their carers. And as we've done that, we've really had a laser focus on what we're doing well, and there's some great things happening, but actually there's areas of work that if the senior matrons had the time and were freed up to do this work, we could do this well, and we could do it with our patients.
Okay. You mentioned raising the standards of care, so I'll put this delicately. Where? What wasn't quite right before?
So the standards of care across the whole organisation. So really, really simple things. Having time to sort out issues with patients and their carers as soon as we possibly can. And you can only do that if the senior matrons and matrons are available at that given time.
Okay.
So what we've done is repurposed their priorities. So, for example, there has been times, and we've looked at this and reflected, there has been times when perhaps our senior matrons have been in meetings that other people could go to. So in order to free them up to walk those wards, walk those areas of their community and be visible. And when you do that, people talk to you. But importantly, we can get things solved immediately. Some things take longer, and that's fine, and that's important that it does take longer to get the right outcomes. But we need to be closer to our patients and to the public that okay. we serve.
Is this a situation you've seen elsewhere?
Absolutely. So, for example, when I've worked in the UK and I've worked in the Northwest and the West Midlands, we've introduced what we call the key top 10 roles of a matron. And when you really focus on that top 10, that makes you really refocus what people are doing on a daily basis. If you're not walking your floors on a daily basis, then I don't believe you're doing the job.
Okay. What's morale like at the moment? Because obviously there are two sides to this. There are patients, as you say, there are carers, but also the nurses. Everybody wants the nurses to be happy. A happy nurse presumably is an efficient nurse.
Absolutely. And happy nurses equals happy patients as well. And what our nurses need is, one, a really good career structure. So they want to be able to see what is their next role. But not only that, they want good role models. They want to see that they are nurses who are going to be visible, who are going to have time free their time up to care so they can have time with their patients and be able to talk to their families. So introducing and freeing up the senior matrons, the purpose of that is to give those nurses the opportunity to be able to work with the matrons, work with that role modelling and be able to raise their standards and get the career pathway that they want. I think the key thing for me, Andy, if we don't do this right, we won't be able to retain our nurses. So we need to show them how things should be done and we need to show them that they've got a really good career pathway.
Okay. Just tell me something. Is it anecdotal or do nurses need a degree now?
They do. Yes, they do. And that's important for the profession because that's important because as times have moved on, things are a lot more technical than they ever were. So, for example, the digital era, artificial intelligence, you know, working in very different ways. And nurses over the years have taken on much more skills and roles within that multidisciplinary team. So, absolutely. But, of course, it's not just about the degree nurses. It's about all those other people who support nurses, especially healthcare assistants is a really good example, and assistants to some of the other professions as well, okay. to free them up to give the care they need.
Okay. And if you want to get in touch, by the way, text 166177, email studio@maxradio.com, the WhatsApp's 166177, or you can call 661368. So we are really at the dawn of a new era today. Joe, what's this going to mean for the emergency department? What we used to call casualty, it's emergency department now, isn't it?
Yes, it's the emergency department now. So for us, that means getting it right as soon as the patient presents to the emergency department. We really want to focus on that patient having an enhanced patient journey, on looking at ways to improve waiting times dependent on patient clinical condition, on giving the public that explanation as to why they may be waiting in ED, what else might be going on in the department to cause that knock-on effect, and communicating well with our public, finding out what they need, finding out what needs improving in our services, and ensuring we're there, as Sheila's alluded to earlier, to try and solve those problems at the front door.
Okay, and everybody knows, again, it's anecdotal, but everybody knows Friday and Saturday night in ED can be hazardous. It can be a long wait, and obviously the staff are going to get the neck end of anything that's going. So is that going to get any better for the staff there and for the patients who are presenting?
Yes, I hope it is. So as well as Friday and Saturday nights being extremely busy, which they are, Mondays and Tuesday daytime are actually statistically our busiest times. So it's sometimes the hours that people don't think are going to be extremely busy. 7 days a week, people become unwell and we cater to demand. It's really important that the patients that present are seen and treated as they need to be. So it shouldn't matter 24/7 what time you need our care. It will be there to be delivered. There are different patient pathways that we're looking looking at and trying to consider which patients need to be looked after in which environments so that we've got the right patient pathway for them. And that's some work we're doing at the moment to see who needs to go to the emergency department, who doesn't, and what other avenues are available to us.
And again, this sort of, if you like, the Friday evening mixture of meds being on duty, and then obviously there's emergency department. And again, we've heard some people who really should be going to a GP are presenting at Meds at Noble's Hospital for some attention. How can you stop that? How can you filter that out?
So we've had this discussion recently, and it's actually quite clear that our public are really well educated and know where they should be presenting. They haven't always got access to the right place if an appointment isn't available that day. However, as much as we're doing different pathway enhancements in the emergency department, our primary care and community colleagues are also doing the same in their departments. So it's about us working collaboratively, looking at what the patient journey looks like across the different areas. So whereas I may be responsible for emergency care, I would talk to my senior matron colleague in the community, Emma Cleta, and we'd discuss how we can work together to enhance that pathway across both services.
Okay. Cathy, so in terms of the cancer side of things, that's never going to be a pleasant environment to be in, because anybody hears that word, that awful six-letter word. Mm-hmm. But what are you hoping to bring in terms of an improvement?
Well, within MaxCare at the moment, we have a fantastic oncology day unit. And obviously, on there, the standards are quite high already. We work very closely with Clatterbridge Hospital in Liverpool, which is where our oncology support is from. So all our nurses within the oncology day unit are trained to the same standards at Clatterbridge. We go over, we do some shadow work over there at Clatterbridge. Again, it's about making sure that our nurses are trained to those levels. They've got the same standards of care.
Okay, so in terms of, again, somebody who gets a diagnosis, what's going to be the difference in the approach now? Is it going to be quicker? Hopefully better, but where do you see it?
Yeah, I think one thing we're always looking at is the patient pathways, and that's really, really important. And what we do know is that the faster we can diagnose a patient, the better. So working very closely with our colleagues in diagnostics, with our radiologists, radiotherapists, you know, we're looking at that patient pathway. We're constantly reviewing a patient pathway to see how we can sort of shave time off that a little bit to get a quicker diagnosis. It is really, really important.
Okay. So, Sheila, when do you know if all this is working?
We're going to be reviewing that every week and every month, but we would love to come back in about 6 months' time to talk about that. I think what Joe and Cathy are saying here is this launch of the senior matrons comes at the same time as Manx Care and as Manx Care's board are going forward with the operational plan. And part of that operational plan is to say, are the patients in the right place at the right time? Can we make it more efficient and better for people? Do people need to come into hospital? How can we change that? If you don't need to come into hospital, how can we make sure that we've got better services out in the community? And therefore, how do we make the hospital the most efficient and effective place it can be for those who must be there? So in order to do that, you need your senior nurses absolutely at the forefront of that, role modelling, answering the questions, making sure our patients and our public understand, working with our MHKs as well, because they have their constituents, making sure that everybody's clear about this journey of getting the pathways right for our patients.
Okay, you use these words, journeys and pathways. And what the pathway is basically from what diagnosis to recovery, is that right?
Yeah, and what we want to see further down the line, Andy, it's for patients and the public to be able to know. So, for example, if I have a heart attack and I need to go to Liverpool Heart and Chest, for example, what will that mean? What are the stages? What will happen from the time I have the chest pain through to maybe having a therapeutic or a treatment over in Liverpool and I come back to the Isle of Man? There is standard ways of doing that, and we need to make sure that everybody's clear what's happening to them, so they know what's happening to them, so their families know what's happening to them. Because I think sometimes our patients and our public don't know what's happening. They don't know why they're waiting, perhaps, for the next step. And we want to, as Manx Care, make sure we get that more efficient and more effective. And actually, sometimes you won't need to go over to Liverpool. We can do some things on Teams, or you can be seen back here. And I think a good example of that is the chemotherapy unit that Kathy, as senior matron, leads on, that our people who live on this island are able to have their treatment here, supported by Clatterbridge.
Oh, tell us a bit more about that, Kathy.
Okay, so we do most of our chemotherapy is done on the Isle of Man for a treatment that is a sort of a long period of time, over 8 hours. Those patients do go across to Clatterbridge, but the majority of treatment is given on island, which is a fabulous resource for our patients. A lot of patients obviously are very, very poorly. They don't want to travel. As you know yourself, if you've been on the early flights, it's very difficult. So it's a fantastic resource we have, and we're very closely aligned with Clatterbridge. You might even say we're Clatterbridge at Nobles Hospital.
I mean, having chemotherapy is... everybody knows somebody who's had chemotherapy. It's stressful, and going to Clatterbridge can be a monumental effort for people, and particularly for having that amount, and then coming back the same day.
Yeah.
It's shattering to get back at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. Yeah. So having it on the Isle of Man is fundamental, I would say.
It is, absolutely. And our nurses are very highly trained. We have a fantastic nursing team who are absolutely amazing. And the feedback we get from the patients, we do within the organisation, we do what's called friends and family test, which is a national sort of a quality assurance. They do that in the UK, in the NHS. We do it here. And we're consistently scoring 94% of good and very good. You know, we see that not just in the oncology unit, I have to say, it's throughout the hospital, throughout Manx Care. And the feedback response is increasing. We get a lot of people who want to feed back into that. It is very important. We listen to patient feedback. Some patients want to be treated in Liverpool. They want to go across to Clatterbridge. We facilitate that if we can. The other thing that we work very hard at doing is remote consultations, especially if patients don't, like you say, it's a difficult journey when you're not well, and patients want to stay on the Isle of Man, so we can have remote, and we facilitate that. We have that set up, so we have the consultant, the oncologist in Liverpool at Clatterbridge, but our patient is here, supported by a clinical nurse specialist here, so they can have that consultation. They don't have to travel across.
Okay. I noticed one thing that you're responsible for, Sheila, is complaints.
Yeah.
And the patient experience can sometimes not be perfect, and complaints will occur.
Yeah.
How do you approach complaints?
Absolutely. And when somebody sends in a complaint, they're usually at the end of their tether. And what's really important, and the launch of the senior matron, is for us to really get upstream and have the conversations and have the intervention much, much earlier, Andy, than people having to write maybe a 10-page letter. So that's what working with MCALS, our advice liaison service. Our MCALS service, I think everybody loves MCALS on the island. It's very, and they love it because it works straight away. By and large, you get an answer on the day, or at least within 3 days. The senior matrons are going to be working hand in hand with MCALS, because they're not the senior matrons, but they need them. When the complaints arrive, I want us to be able to respond to them more effectively. I want to be able to have a conversation with the complainants, not just wait for a letter of response. And I want to see the senior matrons and the the matrons being part of that.
How do you sort out the... And again, there will be different types of complaint. There'll be people who just want to get things off their chest, and people who have something fundamentally that they consider is wrong. How do you grade them, as it were?
Well, what's important is we must acknowledge that we haven't got it right. And apologise when we've got it wrong. And I think that's really, really important, and be very clear about that. And then we have to listen. We have to listen to the complainant, because it's not just the letter. When you sit across the table with a complainant, you understand a lot more. It's very hard to put everything down on paper. And then we have genuinely got to learn from those complaints. And again, that's where these matrons absolutely come in. How are we learning? How are we making sure or trying to prevent this from happening to someone else or again? And then, of course, it's really important. We're working with our partners, so the Ombudsman on Ireland. So by the time a complaint gets to the Ombudsman, you know, our complainants are really unhappy.
Funny you should say that. Peter dropped me a note in, and Mike as well, just to say, will the matrons be working with the Health and Social Care Ombudsman regarding complaints and subsequent action?
We have been invited, and we do want to go to one of their meetings to meet for the Ombudsman to be able, and colleagues to be able to meet the senior matrons and make that connection. The connection between people is far more effective than anything written down.
Okay. Joe, and again, this question of complaints is important, because sometimes, I mean, do some people have unrealistic expectations of what it is they think you can do?
I think it's really important, as Sheila said before, to meet or talk to that person and understand what's at the root of their complaint. I think people want you to be open, honest and communicate. And if there's not something that we can do about that there and then, we can look into that with our other colleagues. We can work across different areas, as we discussed before. We can look at how we could find solutions. But if there's something that can't be changed, it's really important that we're open and honest about that, that we explain the reasons why to the patient or their family members. And that there's an understanding there between us and a mutual agreement.
Okay. Will you be on duty at the emergency department?
So I work quite a lot in the emergency department. I still maintain a clinical role. Clinical leadership is really important to us. And first and foremost, we're registered nurses. So we work wherever we're needed. A lot of the time, we stand back to try and enable and empower and support our junior colleagues, who aren't all that junior, but different levels of colleagues, to be able to deliver the care that they are subject matter experts in. The idea is that we facilitate that and we try and make their job as easy as possible.
Okay, with that being completely stereotypical, but what proportion, is there a male-female breakdown of nurse recruitment, Sheila?
From a senior matron perspective, so we've got 8 senior matrons, of which 2 are male.
Right, okay. Because, I mean...
It's important.
Yeah, I mean, the age-old image was that most nurses were women. Mm-hmm. I'm just genuinely interested to know whether that's changing.
Absolutely. And it's not just gender, it's also experience. So we have Kathy, I refer to Kathy as a seasoned matron, but because she's an excellent role model for people coming through the ranks. And I think what's really important to say, Andy, is we work really well with our doctors. You know, nurses and doctors have always worked very well together, and the doctors are prescribing the care within our organisation. And as nurses, we absolutely support that, whether it be a matron role or advanced nurse practitioner roles, who are working right alongside our doctors, and then all the other clinical professionals working together. It's not just about us, but I think, going forward, we're going to step up, we're going to get closer to our patients and the public, and we're going to act on things we know we can do today. Those things that need more time, we're going to let people know why it's taking longer and genuinely work with people to resolve issues, not do it through paperwork and various other means that sometimes feels very uncomfortable for patients and the public. Sometimes they will tell us that we don't know why we're waiting. We don't know what's happening.
Okay. Well, we're with Manx Care today, and the matrons are in red. Kathy Quine is here, and we've also got Sheila Lloyd and Joe Standish. Lots of messages to get through. We got through some already, but some interesting points coming through. Text, email, call and WhatsApp.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Don't believe what?
A small stone just flew off and shattered the conservatory window.
Oh, no problem. I'll call out Manx Glass and Glazing.
Can they fix it?
Yeah. Mum's glass shattered and they soon replaced it.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit Snugborough Trading Estate for all your glazing supplies and repairs, including broken or failed double glazed units, along with good old-fashioned customer service and product knowledge.
Manx Glass and Glazing. You're smashing.
The Isle of Man Creamery presents stress-free food shopping with our doorstep delivery service. In time for breakfast, enjoy fresh milk, cheese, cream, Noah Bakehouse pastries, bread, coffee, juice, eggs and potatoes delivered straight to your door every day. And if that sounds good, we don't charge for island-wide deliveries. Love food and drink delivered super fresh? Sign up and order online today at isleofmancreamery.com.
The Isle of Man Symphony Orchestra with special guests is staging a fabulous concert with music by Chabrier, Mussorgsky's Night on a Bare Mountain, Britain's Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra and Mahler's Symphony No. 1. An evening of extraordinary music in the Villa Marina Royal Hall on Saturday the 17th of May at 7:30. Tickets on sale now.
Avishan Rish.
A Gilg, the Manx Gaelic. Chinian Amera, the mother tongue of Elian Vanin, the Isle of Man.
Avishan Rish.
You can catch up with more of Manx Radio's Manx language programmes in the weekly podcast, Avishan Rish. Say that again.
Avishan Rish.
Shane, that's the one.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And Manx Care's matrons today we're talking to. Right, let's get to the line. And Robert's with us. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing, Andy? First of all, can I come back on whatever Manx Care ladies say? Just give a response.
Okay, so what's on your mind today?
Well, I believe, and it's my belief, so you can't take that away from me, that there's something fundamentally wrong with the ADHD trackway. I think the pathway to ADHD diagnosis is incomplete. I think it's a business case that needs to be made. You've probably got about 5,000 people on the Isle of Man who've got ADHD, and it's being ignored by Manx Care at the moment. Seem to be skirting and flouncing around the issues and around the subjects on policy matters and all the rest of it.
Okay, is this something you have a personal experience of, Robert?
That's correct.
Okay, well, let's go. Kathy?
I'll take that. Thank you, Andy. Good afternoon, Robert. I'm really sorry to hear that you're in this situation. We are working as a board with the Department of Health and Social Care to much improve this pathway. We have a senior matron for mental health services, Mark Butler, who is brand new in post. And I do know that the team there are looking as hard as we can to make sure that you do get services. We absolutely recognise, as Manx Care, that the ADHD pathway isn't where it needs to be. Please give us some time to see how we can work this through with the Department of Health.
Robert?
Well, basically, Mark Butler's been in post for about 12 years now up at the mental health place, up at mental health at Nobles and where it used to be. I can't remember what the old place is called, but he's been there for ages. He's basically the guy who organises Man in Court. So, you know, that's if that's your go-to, then I don't think much of it.
Well, just tell us, what do you think's lacking, Robert?
There needs to be proper legislation and business case brought about, so ADHD, attention deficit hyper disorder, needs to be put into place so that the 5,000 people on the Isle of Man need to get proper diagnosis.
Okay. Okay, Kathy?
And Robert, I think that's what we hear you, and that's what we're saying. Yes, we do need to have a pathway for ADHD. Mark is what you've described about Mark. Mark is a very experienced mental health nurse, and he's just recently gone into this new post as senior matron. But he can certainly help in terms of providing that support. So the department have a subject matter expert in that field, along with other colleagues within the mental health service who know very much about ADHD, including our doctors.
Okay. Well, and also, Mark's not here to speak for himself, so we'll leave that there. But Robert, what you must do is stay in touch with us and let us know how that goes. And again, picking up the slack in many, many areas is something that you're going to be tasked with, Sheila. So how long do you give it? How long do you give it before things start to get on the right track? Because presumably you're here to sort things out.
Well, it's going to take time. I would like to see 6 months down the line that we can demonstrate that people feel more connected, people understand what's going on, people understand where we're up to with elements of care, and that's all care within the integrated system. As I said, we've got an operating plan. It's just fresh out. It started on the 1st of April. In 6 months' time, we will, of course, be looking at are we delivering it. But some of the long-term plans will take long-term.
Okay.
And we need, therefore, going back to the senior matrons, we need experienced senior people to be able to support any new ways of working and have the expertise to do that.
Okay, there's a question in from Mrs. P. Question for the nursing staff. Is it true nurses have to pay towards any further training in-house over and above the basics? Is this true?
No. No, in-house training is provided by Manx Care. If people want to do something over and above what is required within their role, then that is up for conversation. Some people pay all of it, some people pay none of it. It really just all depends where we are at a given time. But we're always there to support nurses' development.
Okay, here's one in from Brian, who said to Brian, I was unfortunately diagnosed with cancer in August of last year, finished my operation in radiotherapy in December in Liverpool, 23, came home. Unfortunately, it was like falling off a cliff. There wasn't a joined-up approach, no follow-up, no pathway. I had to fight every step of the way to get help with pain management, eating, sent a letter in once. Even though my MHK was involved with the letter and very supportive, I sent a follow-up to get an answer and was told it's complicated and I need to resend the official complaint to get a decent response. I thought it was a waste of time. It was unhelpful. Macmillan, on the other hand, says Brian, were fantastic and very supportive. Is that something you've heard before, Kathy?
Yeah. I mean, firstly to Brian, I'm really sorry that you've been in that situation. And obviously, you didn't get the answers that you needed at the time. It is something we're aware of. I mentioned earlier about the pathways and looking at the pathways that patients are. And you know, we talked about not just from diagnosis, but actually from when they see the GP. So going to the GP, and then getting the diagnosis when they come into Manx Care. and then the follow-up treatment, we're very well aware that when patients go off island and then they come back, whether they've had radiotherapy, an operation, and they come back to Ireland, there is that gap there. We are well aware of that. It's not acceptable. It's something we're working really hard to bridge that gap. It shouldn't be there. And sometimes it is a lack of communication. We do work very closely with our tertiary care centres, but we are aware there is a lot of work we need to do.
How do you, as a matron, how would you? We've all heard this, the tales of letters flying here, there, and everywhere, arriving after the date of the appointment and what have you. I mean, how can that be resolved?
I think that, again, is working with the different teams within Manx Care who are responsible for that, and putting the patient at the centre of everything. Looking at it from a patient perspective, and how would you feel if you were a patient and that letter didn't arrive? So again, it's about getting that message. I think as patient advocates, nurses are very good at doing that, and certainly the matron in that senior clinical role is very good at getting that message over to the rest of the staff. And in sometimes it's administrative staff who are not clinical. So we absolutely have to be the patient's voice to get that over.
And again, this is you must find yourself almost on the horns of a dilemma, because you know the clinical needs, and yet the admin side of it, for one reason or another, is falling down, and you're caught in the middle.
I don't think it is like that. What's really, this goes back to MCAL's, our advice line. People need to know where they can go to start a process to connect to people. We couldn't do our work without our administrative teams. They do some great work. But with MCAL's linked to senior matrons and matrons, we believe that we can make it quicker, smarter for our patients. And for your audience, Andy, that I'd just like to say, in terms of the senior matron role, we will be getting in the next 48 hours the 8 matrons' names up on the website, right. So people are very clear by department. But if you're in any doubt, please contact MCALS, because MCALS will be able to fast track to where people need to be. And with these senior matrons in place now, not only we believe we're going to help the patients more, we're going to help MCALS to be able to do that. So just back to administrators, they're just so important to get us from A to B, to get to the clinical people you need.
But I mean, you understand that the patients, if something goes wrong with the patients, they don't understand your organisational structure. They don't know where the responsibility lies. They just know something's gone wrong and need to say something.
Yes, and that's why MCALS is just swiftly straight in, not going to individual areas.
Okay, I'm pleased to hear that communication with patients and families will be a priority. What I'd like to ask, is there any information available for families of newly diagnosed dementia patients immediately after diagnosis? When my mother was diagnosed, we had no help, no support, no information about daycare facilities for her, no training about handling the various and frightening behaviours of the illness. We felt a bit ambushed. Dementia requires 24/7 care, and there surely should be a helpline for families at times. The Alzheimer's Society is not sufficient, and neither are the occasional get-togethers to socialise. My mum died in 2017, but the family were devastated by the lack of support. I'm having counselling to deal with the anger and pain that it caused, says Sue. All it would need is information pack to be given to a family, an online contact to answer questions. Dementia, I think, is brushed under the carpet, and it's tends to happen, of course, to older people.
I'll take this if that's okay.
Okay.
So
this is Joe, by the way.
First, I'm really sorry for what has happened, and it's experiences like this that allow us to improve services. Manx Care have recognised that there is a service gap in the dementia and delirium area, and as part of the work in our frailty unit and pathways, we're actually introducing a dementia and delirium practitioner, and that job is just about to go out to advert. This person will be the service clinical lead. They may be a nurse, they may be an allied health professional, but they will be the clinical lead with expertise in that area, and they will shape that care pathway. They will develop and design information packs, training packages, anything that is needed in that area, and form the links with our other partners that can support that role.
Okay, you sound like you've got a lot of work ahead of you, Jo.
Fortunately for me, it's work that we have done as a team, and it's work that is just coming to the point of being launched now. So we've done an awful lot of work, but there's a lot of us to do that work. There's a lot of subject matter experts, as we were talking about before, working with our medical colleagues, our allied health professionals, our public engagement. We've really been able to look at what that space needs.
Okay, and a note in from, thank you, Gaz313. He said, come on, there are mentions of process and pathways and plans and this, that, and the other. Could you ask Sheila, you're not just another type of manager, are you?
Absolutely not. This is about clinical leadership. It's as a nurse. When you qualify as a nurse, when you come through that degree status and at the end of your 3 years of qualifying, you are a trainee. It's a bit like doctors. You are a trainee. You don't get to matron level for some time, and absolutely you shouldn't, because you need to learn and understand and get the experiences that you need to be able to make clinical leadership decisions. As clinical leaders, we're here to role model. We're here to look at research, look at audit, understand what the future needs are for the Isle of Man. What do the Isle of Man people think of that? We need to keep them safe. First and foremost, we need to keep them safe. You can't do that without experience. You can't do that sitting in an office. You've got to be out there hearing, listening and understanding. And you've got to work and work with your nurses. Make sure that they have a solid career pathway, that they can see where they're going, that they get the relevant experiences to get there, and that they get the right education to get there. So this is really important. This is really, really important. And if we get this right and we get the right career structure for our nurses on the Isle of Man, we'll keep them.
I was going to talk about that. And obviously retention is something that's been mentioned time and time again in the 4 years that Manx Cares. And of course, it was mentioned before when it was run by the politicians, that retaining nurses on the Isle of Man has often been a challenge. How can you improve that? How can you stop nurses leaving?
I think one of the key things is to be able to show nurses what they're worth here, and that they do have a career pathway of choice, and really sell the great roles that nurses do, whether that be right at the bedside, whether that be out in the community, going into people's homes, into some very poorly people, whether that be talking to people in the community about their mental health, about their ADHD, all of those things. Understanding what safeguarding means in terms of vulnerable adults and vulnerable children. When you show that they can get those experiences and that we educate, we've got a brilliant education centre in Manx Care. We are in September, we're going to have 25 nurses coming out of their training, 25 nurses who have been trained on island. Manx Care general nurses. In July, we've got 6 mental health nurses coming out of their training right in our education centre here. Years ago, Andy, you couldn't do that. Everybody had to be trained off island. We're actually recruiting our own. We want to get into schools, fit and proper into schools, really for people to understand not just the nursing profession, but there are so many professions in health and social care that people don't know about. For example, speech and language, how important that is for people who have maybe had a stroke, or for children who have had problems with speech right from, right from the outset. So we've got to really emphasise that. If we train people, if we invest in our nurses, if we make sure they have a good career pathway, then we'll retain our nurses. And it's not cheap, Andy. It's going to take money and it's going to take time, and it's absolutely worth the investment. And the board and the government have invested in that, and I'm delighted that 25 registered nurses are coming out in September and 6 mental health nurses are coming out, and they're going to have jobs on this island.
Okay, all right, we're back with the Manx Care matrons in just a few moments' time, and more messages to get through.
Sometimes you need to roll out an extra bed. Milich Apps have a wide range of affordable and superior single and double folder beds to suit all budgets, including luxury pocket sprung options and a fabulous choice of sofa beds in a variety of styles and sizes. Perfect for home offices and spare rooms, and all in stock for speedy delivery when guests are expected. And don't forget the pillows and bedding, with plenty of choice available at Milich Apps. For fold-up beds and more, visit Milich Apps today.
Whatever your business, whatever its size, you can always rely on the island's leading fuel and oil supplier to keep you moving. Ellen Vanin Fuels, powering the island and powering industry. Call us on 844-000.
Did you hear?
Hear what?
Skipton International has a fixed rate bond at 4.4%.
Oh, really? That's a strong return. How does it work?
Skipton International's based in Guernsey, and with £100,000 or more deposit, you can lock in that great rate. Fixed until 31st of March 2026.
Sounds like a smart move. I'll check it out.
For details on all of Skipton's savings products, call 01481 730 730 or visit SkiptonInternational.com today. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
The extended Ramsay Garden Centre is deceptively large. You'll find a warm welcome and everything from bedding and perennials, fruit and vegetables, to lighting, garden ornaments, bird baths, bird tables, and indoor and outdoor pots. Come and browse at Ramsay Garden Centre.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And the matrons in red today, we're talking with Jo Standish and Sheila Lloyd and Kathy Quine. Just a quick one here, and this is from, does Manx Care discriminate against healthcare workers from other jurisdictions, not in the NHS network, specifically paramedics? I'm a fully qualified paramedic, originally from the Isle of Man, who attained his certificate in the USA, certification in the USA. A couple of years ago, I applied for a position, flew from the States to attend an interview, was unsuccessful at that time to get reciprocity of certification to allow me to even apply for the job and travel to and from the Isle of Man. I've applied. The problem, they say, is the certification I hold for driving emergency vehicles in the United States doesn't meet the requirements in the UK, in the NHS network. Is that so?
No, we certainly don't discriminate. We absolutely encourage people. And Will Bellamy, who's our absolute in charge lead in terms of ambulance service and paramedics, would welcome more than anything to have a conversation with that individual. We want to have a discussion. We don't want people going away thinking that that is the case. If you haven't got a certain qualification that is required, we can certainly look at that and see how you can achieve that qualification, especially in this example.
Okay, one thing I just wanted to bring up, and that is, you represent all sorts of... I'll ask you here and now then, Sheila, will you come back before Christmas? That's 6 months' time.
We would love to.
Okay, and then we'll see where we're going with this, because I know you are responsible for... You're professional leaders, they say, for midwifery as well. So what's the situation with midwifery on the Isle of Man?
Thank you for bringing that up, and thank you for the opportunity. So in terms of our midwives, as people have recognised, we've had a shortage of midwives, and that continues to be the case, but we have certainly been able to improve the vacancies. And that's been because the midwives themselves and our women's and children's department have really worked together to try as hard hard as they possibly can to encourage people to apply. We've also more recently had our very first midwife who has been trained on Ireland, and so again we've done that with general nurses. Now we want to do it with our midwives. As I said, the vacancies are less, and we haven't been able to do some of the home births, but we're hoping very soon, as soon as we can get those vacancies covered, and we hope in the next year we will certainly be looking to make sure that our women get choice again. We can't do it at the moment, but we want to do that in the future. We need to go back to our schools, our 26 primary schools and our 5 high schools, to be able to encourage people to come into our health service.
Interesting, because we did the take man in line out to the schools often, and at QE2 there was a young woman student there who talked very highly of her placement, and she wants to become a midwife.
Fantastic.
And told us about C-sections, which is extremely interesting. So there are now young men and women, or people, parents and carers who have children at school and they're interested about a career in nursing, what's the prognosis?
Well, we welcome everybody. And with our senior matrons, so for example, our Reagan Bagley is our senior matron for midwifery, what we term head of midwifery. And she'd be delighted to talk to people. If I can just mention about Parent Craft.
You've got half a minute.
But our Parent Craft service, just to tell all our women out there and families that we are bringing back face-to-face Parent Craft, and that will be in the early autumn. Thank you.
It's good to talk to you, and as I say, the open invitation is to pop back before Christmas and tell us. Joe, are you optimistic about this new move?
Yes, I'm really excited about it, actually. I feel really enabled and empowered to deliver the operational plan that we've got in place.
Okay, and Kathy, what do you hope is going to improve now, specifically?
Absolutely. I think it's a great initiative. It's getting back to the basics, it's getting back to the fundamentals, and it's ensuring that those high-quality standards, privacy, dignity, communication are all there at the forefront of everything that we do.
Okay. Kathy, thank you. Thanks to Sheila Lloyd as well, Executive Director of Nursing and Allied Health Professionals. And thanks to Joe Standish, Senior, the matron at the Emergency Department. If you've got anything to say, by the way, you can email maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682-631. Today, we've been with the matrons, the new matrons. Open line tomorrow. And by the way, this coming Friday, the pharmacist chairman of the National Pharmacy Association, Nick Kay, is on, talking about the patient and the pharmacist. In the meantime, thanks to Ben on the phones. It's a gorgeous day. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. WINT